the gathering him.
I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have failed to live for you in the things I say and do, and have fallen short of living in your love. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave for my soul. I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have placed myself above and have hurt the ones I love. And I know that only you can set me free. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave for my soul. Take us back to the water, wash away our sins. Welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. Bless your sons and daughters, and let the feast begin. Let it begin. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave for my soul.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You take us back to the water, you wash away our sins. Welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. You bless your sons and daughters. Now let the feast begin. Let it begin. Lord, your mercy covers me. Lord, your mercy has set me free. Forgiven me too. Lord, your mercy covers me. Lord, your mercy has set me free. You've forgiven me today, and my sins are washed away by the cross and empty grave for my soul.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The first reading is a reading from Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day, and they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly, Psalm 32. Please read the bold print. "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.' Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stand near you. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart." A reading from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him known to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he had came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he sent off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With all the chaos in the world, there is a sense at times that we just have to look out for ourselves, maybe even our own family. You've heard me say how this has been an acute reality in recent years, particularly in a society that can make an idol of individualism. Those that are vulnerable or oppressed must do what they can to serve themselves. And those who are privileged do what they can to serve themselves. And in congregational life in our society, the ministry of self can be very apparent at times when the concern is more for the survival of the institution as opposed to embodying the ministry Christ has called us to carry out. Decisions and actions do not become a ministry, a service to others, but a service to ourselves. So in this notorious parable of the prodigal son, we have this younger son clearly looking out for himself, wanting to serve himself and himself alone. And through our own understanding of justice, at one point in the parable, I think most of us can sit and say, this son gets what he deserves, right? He disrespects his father. He cuts off a relationship with the family. He thinks he can thrive on his own, only needing to worry about his own needs and wants. Yet then I believe many of us can still relate to the elder son in the parable when he gets angry at the father for not only welcoming him back, but welcoming him back so with an extravagant and lavish celebration, feeling that he's done the right things. He's been a slave to his father. He's always been obedient. And he was wasteful with this inheritance. How could you? How is that fair? Now, I had a colleague point out this week that the introductory verses to our gospel lesson is there for a reason. And there is a gap, you'll notice, in our lesson, gospel lesson for today. There's a couple parables preceding this. But when we hear those first few verses, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling much in the same way that the elder son is grumbling by the end of this parable. Jesus is welcoming and is eating with people that those Pharisees and scribes would say, why are you inviting them to the party? And they have a problem with including them into this party. And so what we perceive as our righteousness of who can be in and who can be out, that's more important than the will and ways and love of God. What the Pharisees and the scribes fail to see is that how we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. And we all need God's reckless and lavish and abundant love in order to be reconciled to God in the end. When we rely on our own ways like the younger son, when we think we are righteous because of our own ways, such as the elder son, that's when we get in trouble. That's when we separate ourselves from God. Both sons are at fault here. Part of the separation in separating ourselves from one another, like we see the Pharisees and scribes and the elder son doing, I think that's a reason why we might not feel as close to the divine. There's a reason why love your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, while those commandments are intertwined. Because love of God and love of neighbor are one and the same. When we love our neighbor, we are encountering our Lord. The ministry of self, the disregard for neighbor, that might be why Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians that we no longer see from a human point of view when we are in Christ. That being in Christ and being part of a new creation, there's a new way of seeing. The old way of being and the old way of seeing has passed away when we are in Christ. It is gone. There is a new creation. We heard in our second lesson, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Reconciling the world to himself. So for starters, that is going to bring people who the world sees as unrighteous and the righteous together. Right? Notice at the end of the parable, the brother wants to separate himself. The elder brother wants to separate himself from his younger brother. He says to the father, this son of yours. And then what does the father remind him at the end? This brother of yours. And the Pharisees and the scribes are trying to separate themselves from tax collectors and sinners. We're all in the same boat. And if we're being honest, being in the same boat, that we are reconciled to God through Christ Jesus, through Christ's righteousness, that we are brought into full communion through Christ, full communion with the God who is loved through Christ, not through anything we do. But yes, in our sinfulness and brokenness, we can become bitter like the elder son. And we want to say who's included and who's not included. But what we heard in 2 Corinthians, God does not count their trespasses against them. Because it's not justice in how the world envisions it. God's view of justice is one in which God makes right what once went wrong. God is trying to make the world right again through the new creation that we have in Christ. For instance, we notice in the parable that the younger son has his speech rehearsed. We don't even really know if he's truly sorry. But the father doesn't care. When he sees that son far off, he rushes towards him. He doesn't even wait for the son to come crawling back. The father is overjoyed when his son is simply turning in his direction and moving forward. Our Heavenly Father is overjoyed when we just simply turn around, just turn towards Him. That's repentance, just to turn towards God. And God comes rushing back to us to claim us, to redeem us, to remind us of His steadfast love. It's consistent with the God that we encounter throughout the Scriptures, a God who comes to meet us, a God who comes to find us. Not counting their trespasses against them. Notice that the father in the parable is not looking for a list of trespasses to remind the younger son of. The father doesn't even let his son finish his confession. What does that tell us about God? Our reconciliation is about what God is doing. It's not contingent upon what we are doing. That we have to get it right in order to be reconciled to God. Our God desires to forgive, our God desires to love, and our God desires to welcome us back home each and every time we turn towards Him. In Christ, we no longer focus on what needs to be done in order to be loved and how to be righteous by the world standards. In Christ, our point of view now, our new point of view, is centered on what needs to be trusted. What needs to be trusted? Our trust is in the love and faithfulness of God. Now, if I could humbly brag for a little bit, and I talked with my eldest daughter, if I could share all this. She was named Student of the Month, one of the Students of the Month, for the month of March at her school. We're all very proud of her, and we went out to celebrate on Friday night. Before we left, I was talking to her, so she raised this question. She said, "You know, why do a couple of my other siblings get to join in on this celebration? Because it's very clear that they haven't been as good." And it has been very clear that they hadn't been as good. So she saw a sense of, this doesn't seem right, this doesn't seem fair. It's a fair question. And that conclusion at such a young age is in part due to our parenting and socialization outside our home, in what fairness and justice looks like in this world. And it was an opportunity to speak of grace, and that how grace isn't, as you heard me say before, isn't grace is getting what we don't deserve at times, and how God wants us all to be part of the party. And in this instance, wants the whole family to celebrate. And then she reminded me of times, she's like, "Well, but there are times when we're all bad, and you and Mommy got to do something, and we were left out of that." And then I told her to get in the car. Right, just like, just get in the car. But it's a reminder how even as parents, we fall short of showing God's abundant love, grace, and mercy. But as heaven and earth people, that's a real tension in the world that we live in. But that old way, that old view is passing away, as Paul says. And God's kingdom is breaking in. And that has drawn near. And God's kingdom operates and functions in a different way from this world. And so we show people. We are signposts of the world that is and is to come. Because in 2 Corinthians, we also get this sense that we are given a ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ in the way of Christ in this world. Our ministry isn't to save anyone. We don't do the saving. We're not messiahs. Our ministry is to be that of reconciliation, to share the good news and represent Christ, to call people simply to trust what God is doing, that God will take care of the rest. As the elder son complains to the father is essentially telling the elder son, do not focus on those trespasses of your brother, but focus on the reconciliation that has taken place in this family. That is what we're called to focus on, the reconciliation that has taken place. And contrary to popular practice and characterizations of Christians in our society, we are not to be consumed by what other people are doing. I think that's what we're hearing in our second lesson from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and in our gospel lesson. We are not to be consumed with what other people are doing. We are to be consumed with what God is doing. A God who has reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. A God whose image we get is of a father who seeks out a son who is lost, but now becomes prodigal himself, reckless and extravagant in receiving this son back home, in rejoicing in that reconciliation that has taken place. For in our human point of view, we see the younger son and the elder son differently. In our human point of view, we see ourselves differently. But the good news is that God sees us all in the same boat, and that God's desire is to welcome us and bring us all home. The good news is that that human point of view, that old view has passed and is passing away, and in Christ everything has become new. God does not give up on us and wants each of us to be welcomed back home and invites us into the party. And as the father rushes out to the younger son, we see in this parable, the father also pleads with the elder son. Notice how the elder son is choosing to separate himself from the party, is choosing to separate himself from his father. He's not banished. He's always welcome. The father is pleading with the elder son to no longer look at what has happened from a human point of view, but to see it through the eyes of a loving father. So as we carry out the ministry of reconciliation, may we no longer focus on what other people are doing, but approach everyone in the world with what God is doing. A God who is reconciling the world to himself, who is making all things new, and whose love always has room for another at the party. Always has room for the feast that is without end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Jesus formed the disciples in the ways of extravagant mercy and profound welcome. Lead your church to be a community marked by forgiveness, hospitality, and celebration. Send us to transform a world plagued by fear and condemnation. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
You make the land to produce a harvest that sustains your entire creation. Equip farmers and farm workers who till the soil, nourish the earth with ample rainfall and abundant sunshine. Heal grounds tainted by pollution or misuse. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
Countries are divided and leaders are often harbor grudges. Reconcile nations that experience conflict. Act quickly to bring an end to war. Anoint peacemakers trained in the art of diplomacy and foster a spirit of collaboration among political rivals. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
Your people cry for help in times of distress. Resolve disagreements among family members. Save those experiencing financial hardship. Hear our prayer for those who are sick or grieving, especially Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Pete, Cheryl, Perry and Barb, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. Console us with the promise that everything can become new. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Your love comes to us when a table is set and a feast is prepared. Bless the feeding ministries of this congregation. Bring an end to hunger in our community and around the world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Michael, Luke, and their chaplains. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
The one who was dead is alive again. We give thanks for those who have died, confident that steadfast love surrounds them. Shelter them in your love until we are gathered at your heavenly banquet. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Thank you.
us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us in these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun, moon, and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite our communion assistants forward and anyone who's participating in Children's Church. The distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center, with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have trays of glass cups and will release you forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
peace, remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.